is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, and I'm about to start the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. If there's anyone who needs to make a quick call on the W1DX repeater, please go ahead and do so now. I'll start the net in about 30 seconds. Tipsnet for Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It is also available on Echolink. Look for W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1, Delta X-Ray-Romeo. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is twofold. First, to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we will call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask you for those questions after everyone has checked in. The TipsNet has three sections. The first, the open net with rounds of questions and comments as just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. Listen to ensure that no one else called at the same time you have. If they haven't, then press the mic button again and slowly give your call sign phonetically, your name, and your location, and if you have a comment or question. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and this is Net Control, KC1TWR. My name is Tim. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here is a Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale. Good evening, no questions.
And that was me with the microphone turned down. K6PDG, one question. Sorry about that.
Here is Whiskey
Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey. Chuck in Groton, no questions, good evening.
PQ, Dave, K1DCT, Kevin, KA6BDG, Chuck, W1FJW, Steve, NK1B, and Joe. Joe, can you come back with your call sign again? Like, your audio was a little bit light, and I don't think I got it right. It looked like it was Kilo Foxtrot 1, and then I got lost.
Kilo Sierra 1 India. Kilo Sierra 1 India.
Okay, roger that. Kilo Sierra 1 India. No F in there at all. Anyone else that would like to join us on the tips net, please come now with your call sign.
Charlie 1, Mike Victor X-Ray, Kevin and Groton, good evening.
Okay, Ned also recognizes Kevin, KC1MVX. Any other check-ins, please call now.
DCT, and I'll have to build up to the question. The other night, a couple of nights ago, I was poking around using WinLink and went out on using the Vera HF program and got into a site and checked. No messages, no big deal, because I have not been getting this WinLink Wednesday, WinLink Thursday. I haven't been getting any of that stuff all of a sudden. So I thought, well, maybe I'll go check out there and see if that's where it is. And I thought that was fine until Vera came up and said, gee, there's a new version. Would you like to upgrade? Well, of course I would. And ever since I did that, when I go into WinLink and try and open a session with the Vera HF WinLink program, it looks like it wants to start, and then it shuts down. So I uninstalled everything and then reinstalled everything, because that's the first thing you do besides cycle the computer. And here I am sitting in front of it, and it still doesn't, it will not talk to each other anymore. So I'm about ready to wipe it out and clear that space out of my hard drive. So if anyone has any hints, this is Vera version 4.3.1, and WinLink is 1.5.3.4.0. So before it totally exits my computer, since we'll probably never ever use it, if anyone has a hint, I'd be interested. K1DCT.
Okay, thank you, Dave. That's a good question. And there is a Google group out there, just a let you know, called winlink-programs-group. I can forward you one of their emails if you like, but maybe we'll get an answer here on the TipsNet. So let's proceed to the next person to hear what their question is before we put those questions to the group. Kevin K6PDG, what is your question?
Oh, funny, Tim, you didn't say that you had a question. Okay, that was your question. I can answer that question. My question is more of a challenge, if you will, and it's a fun thing. It's not a serious question like Dave's. Well, I suppose it could be, but just for fun, I got thinking, let's get folks to, if they're so inclined, tell a radio story. Again, tell a radio story. It could be... It doesn't have to be long. It could be something funny that happened to you related to radio. It could be something interesting or unusual or really amazing or a good memory or a bad memory or whatever. Just a story about radio. Now, preferably, I think we'd all enjoy a ham radio story. But if you're a new ham and can't think of any ham radio stories, anything pertaining to radio. Doesn't have to be ham radio. So just as an example, not with the intent of being the first to go, but as an example, mine real briefly, mine is real short. back in the early to mid-80s, I had just moved up to Northern California, and I was renting an apartment. And my landlords were very friendly folks. We knew each other. We would occasionally have a cold one together, that kind of thing. And so there was a space shuttle launch, and there was going to be amateur radio on board. And I was a pretty new ham still. And so we took my one of my antennas, and I think it was my isopole, and my landlord and his wife and I stood out in the backyard holding the isopole horizontally so that it would be vertically polarized. Did I do that right? So that it would shoot its signal up into space. And we stood there holding it while I, on my HT, tried to work the space shuttle. I was not successful. But what people must have thought driving by, and we did this two or three times. So that's just an example of the type of story I'm thinking of. But I do want to get Dave's question answered, too. KA6PDG, back to net.
Okay. This sounds like a good topic for a round without too many other questions. Hopefully we'll get Dave's question talked about and answered and so forth. But we've got two items on the floor. We'll move on to Bob and see if he has any thoughts about either Dave's question or any story to tell. W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
Good evening. This is W1RPQ. Dave, I'm running VARA version 4.3.0 that I just upgraded to. So, and it's working fine. And what I will do later on is I will send you a Excel spreadsheet with all my settings on the IC7300 for VARA, because I have a separate one from my digital for the VARA settings, and we can see if there's anything there that might help you. But yeah, mine seems to be working fine, and I'm getting in and out to, without any issues. And that's all I have for this round. W1RPQ, back to net.
Next, we'll move on to Chuck and see if he has any thoughts about Dave's question or any stories to tell. WNFJW, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
Well, I can't help anyone with Winlink. I don't have it, I don't use it, and I haven't figured it out yet for myself. So
that I cannot help Dave and Kevin radio stories. I don't know if I have any radio stories. I'll have to check the memory banks and get back to you on the next round. W1FJW back to net. Okay, very good. Thank you, Chuck. We'll move on to Steve and see what he thinks about those two questions. NK1B, KC1TWR, and the TIPS net.
NK1B. I don't have too much for stories on my mind. I do, I will start, Dave, saying that I feel your pain because I, just before the net came on, I'm actually glad the net's on this evening. I was ready to open the window, and the project I have amongst me here was about to go out, and it is only one story, so I might be able to recover it, but these things can get very frustrating. I don't use Vera, so I'm probably no help whatsoever. I've been using, only because it just worked like magic, the ARDOP to RDOP, of course, Telnet if I'm just testing or whatever. But I've had, with my 7100, it just kind of worked, so I apologize for not getting any deeper than that. I haven't yet had any trouble, although I had a very hard time getting Winlink to work until I switched to that, and it just magically started working, so I think that Rob's going to have the best information. That's usually if he's got the same. I'm not sure you didn't mention what radio you were using, but he's got the 7300. I'm assuming you do too. Also, hopefully we'll be able to figure it out. And actually, I saw mine just come up for an update when I opened to see what I had, and I hope things don't go really bad when I do the update. Back to that, NK1B.
Sounds like you're having one of those days, and hopefully I would put off doing any upgrades till tomorrow. Speaking of which, I should mention that my Windows 10 machines, both laptops and desktop, received an update today that required a restart. So for anybody who has Windows 10, just be aware that it's out there. Okay, let's move on to Joe and see if he knows anything about this VARA issue or if he has any stories to tell. K51I, this is KC1TWR and the TIPS net.
This is KF1I. Just listening here, not much to tell. I run Linux, so there's really no information regarding Windows that I can be able to lend you. I do run FLDigi and FLRig on Linux, and without any problems at all, this seems to be a very nice operating system. When I switched from Windows to Linux, it was a steep learning curve, but after I got through that, I don't think I'll ever go back to Windows again. But anyways, those are my two cents for it. Back to net control, this is Kilo Sierra 1 India.
Thank you, Joe, and yes, I did butcher your call sign again. My apologies. I scratched it entirely out now, and I have it written down as Kilo Sierra 1 India now. So my apologies for that. Okay, let's move on to Kevin and see what in Groton and see what he thinks about the VARA issue and if he has any stories to tell. KC1MVX, KC1TWR with the TIPS net.
KC1MVX. Well, unfortunately, I'm not nearly as versed in Winlink as I really should be, so I'm of no help there. I've only ever used it through Telnet. So I'll use my extra time to tell two radio stories, but they're both quick, or I'll keep them quick. One is very early after I got my license, and I got invited to field day, and I went and did field day, and it was great. But it didn't really... It was a training experience, because I was very new, and I knew... And I didn't even have my general yet, so when we were on HF, I had to do it under the club call, under the supervision of a general So it didn't really feel like my contacts. And then on the way driving back, I decided, you know, I got this mobile rig in my truck. It's still field day. What the heck? I'm going to go on the national call frequency. So I, driving through the mountains of New Hampshire, put on 146.520, and not more than 2 minutes later, I heard a CQ. I answered it, and it was a guy looking for a field day contact in New Hampshire. I answered a mobile. We did our exchange, because luckily I had remembered how to do the exchange from learning from field day. It was his first contact for the field day, because he had had no luck on HF. And it was officially my only actual contact as my own station, and it's the only 2 meter contact I actually logged in QRZ. It's my first ever QRZ log. So that was kind of cool. It made field day a little bit extra special. Let me reset. And the other one is recent and less radio, more electronics, but still radio. When I found out what you needed to do at least the first part of the Mars mod in the ICOM 7300, it was desoldering a very, very, almost microscopic capacitor. And I was like, you know what, I have the equipment. I've done small solder jobs before, nothing quite this accurate, but I'm going to do it in my $1,000 radio. And I did it, and the radio didn't turn back on. And I was like, oh my god, what I do? I opened it back up, I looked, and there was what was effectively the size of a pinhead, but to my eyes, the size of a boulder, glob of solder on a microcontroller with about 100 traces coming off of it. Determined, I took my solder wick, I heated it up many, many, many times, got the glob off, ended up desoldering the traces, cooled down my iron, got my really fine tip on. It was about 4 traces it went across. I resoldered the traces, and the radio works. It was the most stressful thing, one of the most stressful things I've ever done, definitely the most stressful in amateur radio, and I can't believe I pulled it off. That's my stories. KC1 MVX back to net.
Well, congratulations on both items there, Kevin. That's one of the reasons I keep 146.52 at my scan on my radio. And yes, that working on a radio of that quality and that price tag and not having it start again and then realizing what's wrong and it wasn't something simple like you forgot to flick the power back in. That I'm sure that your heart was racing a mile a minute while you were working on it. And I can imagine the sigh of relief when you did power it on and it worked. So congratulations on that. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio. If anybody else would like to join us today, this evening, please come now with your call sign. Okay, we're going to go round back to the top of the list. And Dave, it doesn't sound like we got a full answer for you this evening, unfortunately. I did forward you that one email, so that might help you get into a group that discusses quite a bit about what's happening in the Winlink world and ARGOP and VARA and so forth. And Bob's going to help you out by sending you how he has his setup. I did notice that you mentioned that you're at VARA 4.3.1, and Bob mentioned he's upgraded to 4.3.0. which I suspect is what you were using before you had all your troubles. So it might be a case of uninstalling and reinstalling a previous version. But anyhow, what have you for the second round here on the TIPSnet? K1DCT, KC, oh, don't forget the story, if you would, per Kevin's request. K1DCT, KC1TWR on the TIPSnet.
this is K1DCT. I'm just looking at how much space I'm going to save when I delete all this stuff. And we'll see. You know, I did try and, because I still had the old version in here at first, I did try and downgrade back to the original version, and it still wouldn't work. So I think I'm going to free up some space here. Let's see, radio stories. Yeah, I've got a few. I think I'll tell my most, what I think is the funniest one. Back shortly before I actually became a ham, I was, you know, we're talking back in the late 70s. So there was no internet. There was no searching around. You couldn't find a club in the yellow pages. So unless you knew a ham, it was kind of hard. So, but I did send it a... did I send it a leak? No, actually, there was a place called Aikens Electronics over in New London on Broad Street, and they carried ARL stuff. So I went over there and got the study guide, got Morse code study guide, because you had to know that back then. So, you know, I'm kind of learning what I can and hoping, you know, to stumble across somebody someday. And one night, a buddy and I were out at a place called the Ground Round in Groton. Not there anymore. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, I see this big group of guys come in with red jackets on, and some with green jackets on. And they turn, and when they took their jackets off, I could see they said "race on," you know, and "scrams," and so. They sat down and ordered a bunch of pitchers of beer. I was drinking a pitcher of beer with my buddy. I went over and made some contacts, found out where the club meeting was, and decided that radio and beer together sounded even better. So that started all off for me, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. That's an excellent story, and very good. Just thinking about the fact that at one point clubs had jackets and probably hats and so forth with their insignia on it and whatnot, something I wouldn't push for right now because we're in the middle of COVID-19 when we can't get together, but maybe after COVID-19, that might be something for the clubs to pursue again and to help solidify and you know, get clubs right again. Okay, let's move back down to Kevin and see what you have for the second round. KA6PDG, KC1TWR, and the tip net.
Well, I have sort of a weird question for Dave. If you weren't a ham and you didn't know any hams, and then you saw these shirts or jackets that said "race on" and "scrams." How did you know what "race on" and "scrams" meant? But I'm sure he was abbreviating the story. There's got to be an explanation. Dave isn't psychic. He might be a little psycho like me, but he's not psychic. No, sorry. Well, of course, it takes time to think up stories, so maybe people will have some more in round two. Something Dave said, I guess, got me thinking about the first ham I ever met, and I was probably 11 years old. My aunt had a travel agency, and she had a customer, and I think his name was Mr. Young, I think, if I remember correctly, a long time ago, and he was a ham, and my aunt thought that I needed something to do and get interested in and get focused in. Which people still say about me today. Anyway, so her customer, Mr. Young, I think his name was, invited me over to his house two or three Saturdays over a period of several months, and Mr. Young was a ham radio operator and showed me the radios and talked to me. I don't remember anything he said or talked about. I'm sure it was a ham radio. But the one thing I did remember for years was that he gave me a couple of little round magnets. and I treasured those for decades, and I think I might still have one of them. The second ham I met was, I was a teenager, and he was a teenager slightly older from our church. And again, got invited over to his house on a winter day. Didn't talk on the radio, but listened a lot. And then the third ham radio operator I ever met was the guy I can credit for getting me licensed, and I think he's still on the air, although I've lost track of him. His name is Paul Geffen. And Paul was, I met him at prep school. He graduated with his high school diploma when he was 15 and went on to MIT. Very smart guy, this Paul was. And he's the one that gave me my first novice test and helped me get my very first license, which would have been, I'd have to think what year that was, 1970-ish. And then I let it expire. K6PDG, back.
Okay, very good, Kevin. And I'm going to presume that after you let it expire, you got your next license. Okay. Actually, this is morphing into a tell us how you got started and name it your radio question, which I'm not opposed to. I think it's good. Okay, let's move on to Bob. W1RPQ. And what do you have for the second round? This is KC1TWR and the TipsNet.
Now, this is W1RPQ. Dave, I just sent you an email with some setting information for the IC7300 and the Barra software, as well as Winlink. You can compare and contrast and see if they're the same. But you are running a slightly different version than I am. 4.3.0 actually is pretty new as well. I was running an earlier version for quite a while. So I'm not sure if that's going to help you or chase you away. It is nice when it works. And let's see, stories. Well, let me see. The very first ham I ever met was the day I was born, and that was my dad, W1RPQ Fred. So I started out early. And let me see, the first ham I met that belonged to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club was Tom Scott several years back when I brought a bunch of my dad's stuff over to one of the auctions at the firehouse. So I've had a snippet of relationships with folks up until a few years ago when I actually went and got my license. And that's about all the story I have for today. This is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Good story there. Let's see. Yeah, Dave, I will forward you an email on the Winlink Thursday, just for the sake of argument. Okay, let's move on to Chuck and see what he has for the second round of the TipsNet. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, a couple stories. First is when I was just a kid on the farm. It was a dairy farm, and we had a milk route. You know, back in the days when you dodge dinosaurs and deliver milk to people's houses. And we don't do that anymore. My cousin was going to go on the milk truck that day and help them out with that. And I shinnied up onto the roof of the cow barn on top of a hill, and we had a pair of 50 milliwatt walkie-talkies, some Lafayette radio single-channel walkie-talkies. And from the roof of the barn, we could stay in touch with the pickup truck delivering milk all over the Groton, except for when they got right down on the Thames River on Thames Street, we'd lose it. But other than that, that shadow of the hill, we had contact.
Thank you.
got me most interested in amateur radio were not real people at all, but were Carl Anderson and Jerry Bishop of the Carl and Jerry stories that used to be in Popular Electronics 50, 60 years ago. And they're the ones that really got me interested. Back to net, W1FJW.
Good stories there, Chuck. And especially the one standing on, or getting on top of the barn and put an antenna high enough, and you can reach the world, as they say. Okay, let's move on to Steve and see how he got started, maybe in amateur radio or anything else he'd like to talk about on the tips net in K1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V. Actually, no, I do have stories. Kevin X said something that triggered, reminded me of something. And, I was only, about just over 3 years now, I've had my ticket. And I, well, early on, I, of course, I didn't really know what I was doing. I think I had my HF rig in a truck. I don't think I did yet. Anyways, we do a trip out central New York to see my son and stuff, and we were headed back from that one time, cruising along 90, and I had the 14652 on and just had it on, just listening. And a guy came over on top of a fire tower somewhere. Not completely sure where it was. I was driving, I couldn't really search out where he did mention where he was, I didn't remember. And it was, I found it to be the coolest thing. So I made several attempts to contact him because he was calling CQ and stuff. And of course, he had quite the pileup, and I didn't know what he was. You know, I didn't really understand what was going on. So that day ended and went on, and then just listening around, I had picked up made a couple contacts with these people. You know, doing this, and they were saying their parks on the air and stuff. And I said, no, I don't really understand what all this stuff is, because I still barely understood anything. You know, there was being contests and all kinds of things. And so let me reset. So then I went on my newfangled computer there, and I guess there's this new thing, the interweb there, and I don't really know how Chuck milked the cows without having the internet, because it must have been very boring not checking your Facebook or anything and having to just sit there and bucket and milk cows. But no, I didn't have I actually was one of the first in the area to have a dial-up. I checked into it, and next thing you know, 2 years later, I'm actually, you know, completely engulfed in it. It's one of my favorite parts of ham radio, and I promote it whenever I can. And it was that simple. It was just like Kevin had said. I was just driving along, listening, and you know, I'd done a few repeater contacts and stuff, and I never made that contact. But I just thought it was the neatest thing that guy walked all the way out there and climbed that tower wherever he was, and just to make contacts with other amateur radio operators. It's kind of a cool thing. Back to net, NK1V.
Thank you, Steve. Very good stories. And, climbing towers and all that, I think back when I was a young teenager, and went to summer camp once, and we were on part of the Appalachian Trail, and at the top of one of the mountains we had to climb was a fire watch tower. And I wonder today what kind of reach that putting a radio up there would have. Okay, let's move on to Joe, and maybe he'll tell us how he got into amateur radio or anything else he'd like to talk about. KS1I, this is KC1TWR, and the tips net.
This is KS1I, I'm going to pass with this one. Back to you guys.
Kevin, and see if he knows how he got involved in amateur radio,
or anything else you'd like to talk about this round, KC1MVX, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
KC1MVX. I kind of talked before about how I got into it. Mostly it was through KC1MVS, Mike Victor Sierra, Brian. But I'll talk more about kind of how I end up getting my general. An idea maybe some of you will appreciate, maybe some of you might chastise me for, but I started going to Tom Scott's class at the Red Cross in Uncasville to get my tech license. No idea what he was talking about, never studied anything related to radio before. I did have a background in electronics, but not in radio. So no clue what he's talking about. I'd read through the manual, I'd ask questions. At the end of the class, I'd still have no clue what he was talking about. Started to get time for the test, and I realized, I don't understand any of this. Time to take quizzes and memorize the answers, and that's what I did. I just memorized every possible answer. So I got a really good grade on my technician exam without having any clue what any of the questions were really asking. I then went out and bought a bunch of radio equipment I didn't know how to use, and some I didn't even have the proper license to transmit on. It was recommended to me, and I knew maybe one day I'd get to use it. Let me reset. Met some great people, specifically Kevin, K6PDG. Started talking to him more. Got invited to field day. Went to field day, brought my equipment, was able, you know, because I was with a club, I was going to be able to operate on HF, so I brought my ICOM 7300. Chuck, N1SPX, and his wife, Heather, whose call sign I don't remember off the top of my head, we went and threw antennas up in trees, and we set up portable antennas, and he set my radio up, and he connected a computer to it, and we just spent a couple days operating and getting good signals, getting bad signals, moving the antennas around, doing digital modes, and at some point, it just all clicked. Let me reset again. And I should mention, right after I took my tech exam, I went for the general because, it doesn't cost extra to try. And it was gibberish to me. And after field day, I went in for general, and I did do the exam questions. I did try to memorize them, but I didn't have to memorize the answers. I just understood what the questions were asking. Tom was a great teacher, and the material is extensive and very good, and there's a lot of resources out there, but until you do it, it just, unless you're the type of person that can just hear something and get it, you know, I'm hands-on, and until I got my hands on it, it didn't make any sense. But as soon as I did, everything just clicked all at once. It was kind of a cool experience. So that's how I went from getting a license to actually, I would say, being an amateur radio operator. KC1VX, back to that.
Okay, excellent story there, Kevin. I think your experience kind of embodied and gave an example of how I think, especially in years gone by, maybe not so much now, but still happens where it's not just book learning, it's getting your hands on the equipment, then actually demonstrates to you, you know, why you learned such and such in Tom's class. I also took Tom's class back in 2014. And I think it was 2015 that I took my general class with him when he offered that. And, he's an excellent teacher. And everybody benefited from that. But the other part of it was that after you got your radio and you started to get into it, you actually had the face-to-face contact with other amateur radio operators. And I think that, I'm getting my soapbox here, I think that with the internet and email and YouTube, YouTube and the rest of it, it's very easy to say, oh, we'll just go on YouTube, there's some excellent videos about this. Whereas before, you'd go over to the person's house, they'd show you their equipment, how to operate, do what that specific thing you were asking about, or they'd go over to your house and help you get the radio set up and give you advice on either grounding or the antenna and so forth. And I think we need to get back more into that after COVID-19. Let me reset. Okay, it's about quarter of. I think we have time for another quick round. And I don't really have a question for this one, so just think of anything you want to bring forth to the tips net, and we'll see what you got. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, K1DCT. I don't really have much to add. I mean, I have a lot of stories, but they'll have to wait for another time. Yeah, it was different back then. When I finally did, I'll throw a little story in here. Sure, why not? When I finally did kind of meet up a local ham, because he advertised a ham radio for sale in the classifieds in a newspaper, so that'll date all that. So it was shortly after Chuck was done chasing the dinosaurs off to deliver milk, but so that's how I kind of met I'll call him my first Elmer, because I think I've had a few along the way, and I couldn't afford the price because I was an unemployed, I don't know, 19-year-old technician. So I couldn't afford what he was asking for the radio. But I did go over his house several times, and he let me operate. And like Kevin Six said, he gave me my first novice license, because back in those days, if you were a general or above, you could send enough code so that they qualified for the 1 minute perfect copy at 5 words a minute, and then they could send off to the FCC and get a written test. So that's how you got your novice license back in that day. So it was a good journey. Hope there's more to come. K1DCT.
Dave's right, it is a good journey, and the thing that Kevin X left out, he said he did all this great stuff at field day, which in fact he did, and didn't understand what the heck was going on, and finally it clicked. Well, the part that he left out was that it clicked after about the seventh beer on the Saturday night of field day. In fact, I specifically remember hearing a big loud click. Oh, wait a minute, that was the door on the sheriff's patrol car. K6PDG, back to net.
Okay, that's a good one, Kevin. Okay, let's move on to Bob, W1RPQ, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
PQ. I really don't have much else tonight except to hope everybody has a good day tomorrow and enjoy Thursday and Friday, because it looks like rain and some inclement weather coming in for the weekend. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, thank you for the weather forecast there, Bob. Good to know. Okay, let's now go to Chuck, W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
Nothing else really for the net. Can't think of anything that would add. W1FJW, back to net.
Okay, no worries. Next we'll move on to Steve, NK1B. Anything further for the tips net?
NK1B. Not too much further. I do hope that Bob's advice and what he sent to the Dave can stick it out with the Winlink, because I kind of enjoy that. I think it's just a neat concept, the whole Winlink thing, especially able to do emails through HF and stuff. Give that another stab, hopefully, and then maybe we can pass a few messages back and forth to each other, and it's kind of a cool thing. And other than that, everybody have a good evening. Back to net, and K1B.
Mention during the second section of the TIPSNET, we do have some announcements, and during the third section, there is at least one item. Okay, let's move on to Joe. And do you have anything further for the TIPSNET? KS1I, KC1TWR.
KS1I, coming right back at you. Nothing to add. I'm just kind of curious what my modulation is like.
Okay, well, I am not an expert at that, so I'm going to actually pass it back up the list there for a moment to Kevin, KA6PDG. He's my resident go-to person for audio quality and modulation and what have you. He may ask you to say something else. So, Kevin, you can talk directly to Joe, KS1I, and check his modulation.
Oh, I did it again, didn't I? I apologize. That's very embarrassing. Joe, my fault there. Your audio is good. It's nice and crisp, but it's probably about 20 to 25% low. I don't know if you have an adjustment you can make or just get closer to the mic, but it is intelligible and it is clear. Does that help you, Joe?
I'm using my handy talker right now. My wife just purchased me a Yaesu 991A, so it's going to be here in a few days. So I'm kind of waiting for that, and I think my modulation, my audio will be a little bit better once I get on that radio.
All right, Joe, fine business. I'll pass it back to net control. And I got to do something about forgetting to turn my mic up. Maybe if I start to donating $5 to the Tri-City Club every time I do that. Maybe that'll help my memory. K6PDG, back to net.
Oh, I can see the Tri-City coffers growing and growing. No, I'm sure you'll develop the habit. Okay, let's move on to the last person on the list, Kevin, KC1MBX. Anything for the final round of the first section of the TIPSNET?
KC1MBX. Yep, Joe, you sound good to me. Definitely audible. And yeah, maybe a little low, but not that much. And Kevin, you have to admit, I was much quieter than the family up on the hill. In fact, I think the family up on the hill was the entire reason the sheriff was patrolling to begin with. So, let's just blame them. KC1MBX, back to net.
Okay, very good. Okay, before we go into the second section of the TIPSNET, any further check-ins or any last comments from the first section, please call now. the second section of the tips net with announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. Before I ask for any, I will state what I have, which is that on next Monday, this coming Monday on the 18th, Tri-City Bob W1RPQ is going to have a FT8 presentation. The details of it will be on the tricityarc.net website, and we'll have a Zoom session link up there before the session starts on Monday. Okay, the other thing is that Tri-City is going to have another amateur radio exam session on February 13th at the East Great Plain Firehouse starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you know of anybody who wants to either go for the next class up for their license or get their license, please have them check the tricityarc.net website, and the details are there along with who to contact, because reservations are required. Walk-ins will not be accepted. Okay, and I think that's all that I have for announcements. So, anybody else have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest, please call now.
KC1MVX.
Okay, Kevin, KC1MVX, please proceed with your item.
Just a reminder, kind of, since we're getting to it, talking about it on the nets, that Winterfield Day is coming up at the end of the month, and the rules are going to incorporate, you know, the social distancing, quarantining, COVID stuff. So, you know, now might be a time to think about your plan for Field Day. That's all. Just wanted to get people thinking about that. KC1MVX back to net.
Reminder there, Kevin. I'll add to that that Raison has picked out a winter day field site, and I forgot the name of it already, but you can contact any of the Raison members, and they can probably get you the information if you're interested in joining them on there. However, they are doing, they are going for generator power, no insulated vans or structures, etc. They're going for the real outdoors segment, and they could probably use somebody who might want to just show up and make some contacts for them while they grab some sleep or some food or what have you, so you don't necessarily have to bring your radio and antenna. Any other announcements or of upcoming events or items of interest, call now.
KA6PDG, Winterfield Day. Super quick, for anybody who's interested, but if we have folks listening over toward Rhode Island, the Fidelity Amateur Radio Club is also doing a field day, winter field day, and they have put out an invitation for anybody or any clubs that want to join them. Don't have the info in front of me, but you can contact Kilo Charlie 1. Delta Whiskey Hotel, KC1DWH, and his name is Nick. For details, he's the club president. KA6PDG, back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that information, Kevin. Okay, let's go into the third section of the tips net. This is where, if there's anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for any amateur radio-related items, I would normally call them. However, we do have one that was emailed in that I'd like to put before the group this evening. This is from a, let's see. I've forgotten if this was from an SK or just somebody who was interested in amateur radio. Anyhow, the person is selling bird gear. He has a bird. He has, he also has two elements, the 50C element, which is 100 to 250 megahertz at 50 watts. He also has a 5E element, which is 400 to 1,000 megahertz, 5 watts. And he also has the load, is a bird, or the bird is an 8080 25 watt DC-3.5 gig with an N connector. It comes with a leather watt meter case. The bird is vintage 1980s and in excellent condition. They've used to do marine radio and SNET radio, and I guess that's why he had it. So he wasn't a ham radio operator. He used it for marine radio and SNET radio. His name is Dave Marinelli, and I give you his phone number. So make sure you have a pencil ready if you're interested. It's 860-305-6804. That's 860-305-6804. That's for a bird with two elements and a case. Okay, if anyone else has any items to sell, swap, or looking for, please come with your call sign now.
KC1VX, looking for item.
Okay, you're the only one I heard so far, Kevin, so please proceed with your wanted.
KC1VX, well, since I can't go up to ham radio outlet due to their guys getting getting COVID there, before I order it, I'll put out a call to the local community. I need about 150 feet continuous of RG8X coax or higher quality, preferably 259 connectors, but if they have other connectors, I can get an adapter. But I've got to run a cable from my backyard to my garage, so I need about 150 feet straight. More is better than less, but if you have 125, I might be able to make it work. KC1MVX, back to net.
Okay, anybody have any questions for Kevin? Please call him now. Okay, anyone else have any other items for they're looking to swap, sell, or looking for as in regards to amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, I think we're going to start the closing activities. This is KC1TWR, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Weekly Tips Net. Are there any additional check-ins or comments before we close the net? Check-ins or comments, so I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank Dave, Kevin, Bob, Chuck, Steve, Joe, the other Kevin, for joining us this evening, and those that may have been listening. We also thank W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX repeater. We'd like to thank Joe K1IKE for the Echolink connection, which is W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo, and Kevin KA6BDG, who records these tips nets and makes them available via his one of his web pages, and that is am1700.org/tipsnet, all one word. So that's Alpha Michael 1700.org, Oscar Romeo Golf /tipsnet. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the American Red Cross office in Montville. However, currently their meetings start at 7 p.m. and are on Zoom. the Zoom link is always posted a day or two ahead of time on their website. We'll meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TW.